Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We thank all of you for being here. More phone calls and more guests. We'll head to Tuscaloosa in a few minutes and find out about the status of the Tide a week and 2 days before spring comes to an end. Let's get back to our calls, and Bryson is up next. Hello, Bryson.
What's going on, General Feinbaum? How you doing this fine Thursday?
We are well, thank you.
You ready for the weekend, dude?
Yes, sir.
Well, man, I don't have too much to comment on Mel Kiper talking about Bryce going number one overall. I feel like that was a no-brainer from the get-go. It seemed like he was the best player in the country since 2021. But I did want to talk a little bit about the Saban and Smart debate, because it ain't making really too much sense to me. You know, I mean, Dabo at Clemson won 2 in 3 years. Urban Meyer at Florida won 2 in 3. I mean, even Pete Carroll when he was at SC won 2 in a row. He's in an elite category, you know what I'm saying? But he's not. I mean, I feel like until he wins 4, at least 4, he shouldn't be talking about.
Let me offer this, Bryson, because we're not. People, I think, get confused when we have a conversation about who the best coach is. We're not talking greatest of all time. We're not talking most. What we're talking about is that at the singular moment today, who is the best coach? I mean, you could look at music and argue, well, you know, this person can't be better than that person because, I mean, Taylor Swift isn't bigger than the Beatles. I mean, the Beatles are, but it's about the moment in time. What Griffin was saying was, today, Kirby Smart is better than Nick Saban.
In 2018, would you make the argument whenever Clemson blew out Bama in the national championship that Dabo was the best coach in the country then?
I would not have, because I've never thought Dabo was the best coach on any football field. But I don't think any. I mean, what people were saying then is Dabo Sweeney is starting to challenge Nick Saban. But what did Saban do? He came back and won 2 years later. So the question really, I just think, I mean, that's why we don't need to talk about, well, you know, look at the record between the two. That's not the debate. The debate is who is better today. It's like the NFL draft. Stetson Bennett should go first, then, shouldn't he?
No,
but instead he's going in the seventh round.
Race whatsoever. I have no dog in the race whatsoever.
No, I am simply telling you. I've done this before in terms of evaluations, and I remember I was doing. I started this 35 years ago in a newspaper column, and it took off, and now it's pretty conventional. Who are, like, I used to rank the SEC best coaches every year at Media Days. I mean, there was one year I'm trying to remember who it was. It was like Spurrier. I mean, Spurrier had won a national championship and played for one, but he wasn't the best coach at that moment in time. Somebody else had taken his place. That's all we're talking about. We're not talking about anything else. Nick is next.
Paul Feinbaum, the mouth of the South. It's been a long time, Paul. Talk to me.
Nick, it's so great to hear you again. We've missed you.
I know you love me calling in, don't you, Paul?
Well, really, we do. We just can't tell anyone.
I know you do. If I hadn't called in, the show would be is in the first hour, it's nothing. Let me tell you something, Paul Feinbaum. That's that little old Matt from that moron Matt from San Antonio trying to get into the big leagues. He's trying to compete with Jim from Tuscaloosa, with anybody, even me. Will you explain to him he's got to be in the big leagues, Paul? He's got to get to the big leagues, and he ain't happening.
He's working his way. Listen, he's in the Texas League right now.
That's right, Paul. He's been calling your show how long now? About 5 years.
Yeah, same call.
And his predictions for Texas A&M winning national championships and SEC conference championships.
Do you remember your first call to this show?
Yeah, that was 10, 12 years ago. Me and you talked about, I thought we talked about who was going to be the next coach at Tennessee. And that was a long time ago.
That could have been,
and I told
that
you
could
Jeremy
have been in
Cruyff.
2008 and 2010,
no,
2012, 2017, 20.
No, I've been calling you Paul Feinbaum for a lot of years.
I'm just
you
giving
know,
you all the years Tennessee's had a new coach.
Everybody.
Well, Matt,
I've been a lot
well,
of
Nick, I tell you what,
everybody.
We've always we may not always treat you like we should, but we respect your service to this show. Isn't that what you're supposed to say?
Yes, it sounds good. I don't know.
Johnny B. is up next.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
Johnny.
I was here the day that the love affair ended between you and Saban talking about his hair.
What happened?
That has hurt me to the core. Well, you know, I got to thinking about that and looking when you were pointing it out that last time. What's happened is they've been practicing Gatorade baths for the national championship, and that orange Gatorade has tinted that hair. And that's what I believe is going on.
You're right. I mean, there are some things you can't get out of your hair.
That's true. My aunt, one time, I had a full head of hair at one time, and now me and you have a very similar hairstyle, except I just cut all mine off where you let that grow around the side. But back when it was first coming out.
Well, I just want everybody to know that I still have my natural color hair.
I think Griff does, too. I was looking at Griff. He's
Griff's a couple of years younger, though, so he should have his natural hair.
All right.
But I know people that go gray in their 30s.
Mine just fell out from my first wife.
Okay. Johnny, what happened there? Can you tell us? Can you give us a scoop? What happened to your wife?
There's nothing wrong with her. We just couldn't get along. The stress, I guess. But
did you ever think maybe it was you?
I'm pretty sure it was me. if you hang around long enough, you'd understand. But anyway,
No, Johnny. Let me assure you, I don't need to hang around you. Talking to you is enough.
I got you. Hey, have you heard anything from Larry? I hadn't heard anything.
No, Larry has been MIA lately. I'm a little worried about Larry. Like, let me put out an SOS for Larry from Shelby to make sure that he is okay. I mean, Larry may have gone down to the dock to go fishing and
never saw him again.
Dustin in Tulsa. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Well, thank you, Dustin.
And I can tell you what happened to Larry with all the Bud Light controversy that's been swirling around. I think he's gone into hiding. He doesn't know what to do.
Was there a predicate to that sentence?
No, not really. I just was thinking I was going to call in and make a joke, but I forgot I'm not funny.
No. Don't ever think you're not funny, Dustin, because you never know or you don't know when that humor will suddenly come to be.
Well, I am funny, but
just look at our previous caller, Nick. He's funny, isn't he?
Maybe. I don't know anything about Nick. I haven't been around the show that long. Is he a good fella?
My mother once told me, if you don't have something nice to say about somebody...
Well, what I really
did your mother ever tell you that?
Yes.
What a cliche!
Yeah, my mom. What I really called to say was great show on Tuesday, probably your best one ever. You know, having Sam Pittman on, I don't care what Jim says. If you keep having Razorback content, you might actually make something out of this show after all. I mean, that was good stuff, buddy. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, Dustin. Nothing. He was right. He's not funny. We will. Continue.
Confirmed.
And I second that motion. Well, we are not done yet. Why would we think we're done after, well, just those last couple of calls may have given you reason to think we were.
listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back here on a Thursday afternoon. We'll talk to Mike Rodak a little later from Alabama about the Alabama practices and the scrimmage coming up. We've already had Kuiper on talking about Bryce Young in his mind going number one to the Panthers. Peyton is in Nashville.
Paul, what's going on?
Hey, Peyton.
So I've been listening to this debate all day and all week about Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. But it's quite perplexing to me, and I'm saddened that there's a man lurking in the shadows that y'all haven't mentioned yet that should be in debate for better than both of those coaches.
Yeah, who is that?
He's rumored to be a potato farmer in Midwest Idaho, and that man's name is Brian Harsin.
This is where on television you would have had a laugh track there.
There it is.
But in the real world, we weren't thinking it was funny. We were in shock at how unfunny it was.
Well, dadgummit, Paul, I thought I was on to something. You're killing me here. But seriously, do you think he's ever going to get a job? I mean, is that man employable at this point, or do you think Auburn wrecked his career permanently?
No, I think he is employable. I mean, listen, if Lane Kiffin can get a head coaching job after his fall, and Hugh Freeze and Bob Petrino, Brian Harsin didn't do anything wrong. He was just simply a bad fit for a program that should never have hired him. And I think he's smart to lay low. I would have no trouble hiring Brian Harsin somewhere outside of the SEC.
Well, he's not going to recruit wherever he goes, so whoever hires him.
I disagree. I don't mean to, like, you know, throw a party for Brian Harsin here after spending the all fall trashing him, but I think he's a good football coach, and I think if you put him at a school that's not quite in the same spotlight and a school that you have alignment where half the people on the board of trustees are not trying to get him fired every day, it probably would. I think he'll be successful somewhere. I hope he is. I like Brian. What are you laughing? You don't really believe that. I do. I believe I said that. Mitch is next.
Sir Paul.
I like that. I wonder if I could ever be a sir.
Well, we'd go over to England and get King Charles to...
Well, I have, Mitch, I have legitimate English blood in me, so I think I could... my grandfather was born in London, one of my grandfathers.
So was Jack the Ripper.
Well, but okay. Well, anyway, if you feel comfortable insulting my late grandfather by comparing him to Jack the Ripper, then I'm going to say fine. Thank you very much.
You know I got
kind of
two animals.
My grandfather looked a bit like Jack the Ripper. Never felt. I mean, he died when I was young, but I never felt comfortable standing in front of him.
I got two attaboys I want to hand out to you. First off, thank you for trying to explain to these people what this coaching debate is all about. It's about the moment that we're in. And secondly, I have tried to talk to Matt and tell him to leave Jim alone. Jim does not bother him. And I was so proud of you yesterday for telling him what has Jim done to you. Matt can't get it. He thinks that you want to hear him go off on somebody.
And I mean, Matt's the guy that just kind of walks into a bar and insults the big guy, you know, with the John Deere t-shirt on.
He didn't want to, I can promise you.
The guy just reaches over for a baseball bat.
And I have a question.
Louisville's
if you,
Little League.
If you don't mind me asking your question.
Go ahead. Any question you would like. I'll tell all.
Well, okay. Besides yourself, I give Mike Greenberg credit for being pretty professional.
Okay.
He calls you Paul Feinbaum. How is your last name pronounced?
Okay. I'm glad we're having this conversation, Mitch. Mike Greenberg is referring to my name correctly.
So we're the wrong ones.
Do you want me to tell you the story?
Yes, sir.
How this became the Paul Feinbaum show?
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, the literal translation of my name. Does the audience want to hear this or not, right?
We've heard it before. Go ahead.
I know. I mean, I feel like I've, but you never know. This is,
yeah,
we're hoping there are a lot of new people watching every day, so maybe they missed us the last time. It's a German name, Mitch. It's Feinbaum. What does that mean in German? It means good tree. Baum is tree in German. So I don't know where the German, I don't know anybody in my family that was German, but obviously somebody was. Because I think my grandparents were from Austria, then they got somewhere else, and then eventually to wherever. So here's the deal. If you're from New York, which Greenberg is, and my parents were, it's Feinbaum. But then family matriculated down to the South, and in first grade and second grade, they would go around the room, and everybody, you know, I would say Feinbaum, Paul Feinbaum, present. And the teacher would go, Mr. Feinbaum. So finally, about the third grade, I had enough of this. I literally changed my name. And it drove my mother crazy all those years whenever she would hear me, but I had to do it because if I was going to live in the South, and, you know, it's bad enough being in Tennessee. When you got down to Alabama, it got even worse.
Well, I'm glad
I... Now you know why Greenberg calls me Feinbaum. The first guy to ever call me that on ESPN, do you know who it was? Someone who's even more New York than Mike Greenberg. I was on his radio show about 25 years ago.
25 years ago.
Tony Kornheiser. We got Paul Feinbaum on. Paul.
I associate him kind of sort of with D.C. now.
Well, but he's from New York. And you're right. So now you know, Mitch. I feel like
I know the rest of the story.
Yeah, those 20 or 30 people who did not know that story, and the 8 million who have heard it 15 times are going, please, not again.
Yeah.
Mike is up next in Alabama. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I'm a Bama fan, first off, but I wanted to talk about the SEC East. How do you expect South Carolina to do this year?
I look for fairly similar season. I think with South Carolina, you're going to get surprise wins and unexpected losses. I think that's just where they are right now. I think they'll manage the first half of the season with two losses to Georgia and Tennessee. That's not a good way to start the year. And then, you know, that Missouri-Texas A&M trek will be very difficult. I think I would hope to split that. That's three losses. And try to navigate the rest of the way with as much skill as they could. I mean, I look for something like 8-4.
Well, you know how Tennessee surprised everybody last year.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking South Carolina possibly could do the same. And everybody seems to be just writing Georgia in, giving them the pass. And
there's a reason for that, Mike.
Well, I understand, but they've got a lot of...
So you think South Carolina can win at Georgia?
Probably not, no.
I mean, they did it a couple of years ago, but that was completely, it was a weird day. But I just right now don't see how they get through those first two road games in the SEC. And what the Gamecocks have to avoid is a bad outing. Remember last year that Florida loss that was... simply not explainable. So we'll take a break. What's happening at Alabama? We're not getting a lot of information out of there. Nick Saban said earlier that he likes the spirit of the team. Does that sound like a national championship winning recipe? We'll ask Mike Rodak.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back as we just got through listening to Nick Saban talk about his team. A lot of interest and really intrigue about what this football team is going to look like. Mike Rodak covers the team for AL.com. Mike, thanks for joining us. Always appreciate it. Not to read too much into words because he said a lot, but I was really struck by, I like the spirit of this team. Is that a common phrase by Nick Saban?
To some extent, it is something that he has said in the past. I point back to last season, the first week of the season, he said, I really like this team. And I think when he says that, he's pointing more towards the chemistry, you know, the actual team aspect of it than he is the football team, how it performs on the field. I think he's talking more about how players are working behind the scenes, that sort of thing, how they're interacting with each other. That's what you can really gauge this time of year. So that's what he pointed to last year. And honestly, like, I think it held true. You go back to even the Sugar Bowl at the end of the year, and he had a lot of good things to say about the players on that team and how they interact with one another, but they still lost two games and they still missed the playoffs. So I think people kind of have to separate him saying, I like this team, from him saying, I think this is a team that can win a lot of football games or can win a national championship, because those are two different things in his mind.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard him hating teams that almost won the national championship and maybe did win the national championship. So it's not exactly a good indicator. What does it say? So what is going on down there? We're nearly down to the final week of spring ball, and I realize you're covering it, and I'm parachuting in to get a snapshot, but how would you read the tea leaves without really knowing a lot, because a lot is not something that Alabama apparently wants anyone to be able to know.
Yeah, that's definitely true. There's no practice access for us. There's no scrimmage access. The first time that we'll see the team will be the spring game, which is still, you know, 8-9 days away here. But, you know, it's definitely a team that is younger. It's similar, I'd say, to 2 years ago when you lose a lot of players. They've lost 8 or 9 players on defense. They have other guys on defense who have been out of the spring, guys like Dallas Turner, who could be a pretty high draft pick next year, who's been out. Deontay Lawson, an inside linebacker. So it's been a lot of new faces on defense. The defense, by all accounts, did not perform all that well in their first scrimmage. And then on offense, it's a lot of veterans around the quarterback, a lot of players returning. But the quarterback situation is obviously the big question. And by all accounts, you know, they performed pretty well in the scrimmage. But, you know, overall, it's a team that I don't think is going to be number one. I don't think they're going to be number two in the preseason polls. I don't think they're going to be the favorite in the SEC. It's a different spot for Alabama. Not that they haven't been in those positions before, but it just seems, just feels like there's a little bit more of an underdog quality to this team, a little bit more of an unknown, and we'll just kind of have to see what happens, you know, back when we get to the fall.
Yeah, I mean, these are questions I'm asking that nobody knows the answer to, Mike, but they're still being asked. And, you know, is this a temporary lull before the number one recruiting class takes full effect, or is this the new normal that Alabama is really good, but they're no longer literally running college football like they had for 17 years?
I think the evidence of the past couple seasons points to it being a new normal, because they've had top recruiting classes come in, or they've been really close to top recruiting classes, but it's about retaining those players. And when you have 6, 8, 10 players leave every offseason through the portal, that hurts. And, you know, it's a lot of talented players, obviously, because those are the talented players coming in the first place. So, you know, the recruiting rankings, I don't think, mean a whole lot. It's how many players can you keep? How many players can you find in the portal? It was a little bit of a lighter year on this end for Alabama, where they only brought in 2 guys, the tight end, C.J. Dupree, and the linebacker, Tresman Marshall, where last year, you know, they got some pretty important players, Jahmyr Gibbs and their starting left tackle, you know, guys on defense. So you got to be able to find the talent somewhere. I think the overall talent's still very good, but it might not be head and shoulders above everybody else, especially when you look at Georgia.
Yeah, and that is really what everyone is comparing Alabama to, and we're not going to know until the season. But let me get to the question that everyone's asking, Mike, and what do we know about this quarterback battle?
Yeah, I think if this was a political website, if I was a political reporter, this is a congressional race, I'd say it leans Jalen Milroe at this point.
Ooh.
But this is only one scrimmage in, and there's still, within the next 8 days, you're essentially tripling the amount of live reps that these guys are going to see in actual scrimmage game situations, because they have a scrimmage Saturday, then they have, you know, the spring game next Saturday. So there's still a week and a half here where things can, you know, continue to progress, but it does seem like Jalen Milroe has gotten better as a passer, which was his big question mark. It seems like, you know, Ty Simpson has gotten better, but I don't know if there's been that undeniable, we need to get him on the field sort of talent that was seen with Bryce Young before him. So that leaves Alabama in the spot and leaves these players in the spot, quite frankly, with the portal opening back up Saturday and then closing on April 30th. You know, I think the big question people have around here is, does one of those guys go into the portal? Is there a point where Ty Simpson says, I've been here since December of 2021. I'm not looking like I'm going to be the starter. Can I do that somewhere else? Because if they're not in the portal by April 30th, they're locked in until December. So that forces their hand a little bit, and that's by design, but that's really the next big question here that's going to have to be answered.
And, Mike, just to back up, Ty Simpson came in 5-star, seemingly can't miss, didn't he?
Yeah, he was, you know, 5-star earlier in the recruiting process. I think dropped back a little bit by the time he came in, but still a very good quarterback prospect. But at the end of the day, he's been here 17 months. When he first arrived, was December of 2021. So at some point, you know, it's going to have to be there or it's not, and the train does keep on moving when you have 2 freshmen coming in this year. And there's another freshman coming in next year in Julian Fain, who's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And it's Alabama. There's always going to be a new quarterback coming in. So I'm not saying Ty Simpson's going to go into the portal, but I'm saying that that seems to be, for any player in college football, that is an option that's on the table right now, starting Saturday and then ending April 30th.
So let's just play the scenario here for a second. You can't do anything with the player coming in December. He won't be around. And if for whatever reason Ty Simpson is listening to this and say, you know what, Redak's making a lot of sense, I'm out of here after next week. What does Alabama do? Because, I mean, you're there, but I don't know too many people that feel overly confident in Milroe. So where does Alabama look?
So, I mean, the portal obviously does open the other direction, too, where I guess in theory, there are other quarterbacks that could go in. I think that possibility of Alabama adding a quarterback is very, very slim. But if Jalen Milroe can improve enough of it as a passer, which was his big problem last year, if he can limit the turnovers, which is still something that even last night Nick Saban was alluding to about his quarterbacks in the negative plays, then can Alabama have a serviceable enough quarterback situation to see how far they go? That could be the spot that they're left in. But, you know, this is the tough spot for Ty, too, is, you know, there's still all of August. There's still 20-plus practices in August where he could win the starting battle. But if he doesn't, then he's stuck at Alabama for another year, and you have to go through the process, you know, whatever happens next year. So, you know, having this window now and not having any other opportunity after that, if you're an undergraduate, it does really force the hand of a player who still could have a chance to win a starting job in August.
So, Mike, if it is Milroe, and I realize I'm getting a little bit ahead here, things could change in the next 8 or 9 days. What does that mean how Alabama is going to be looking and realistically, not where they'll start the season, because we know they'll probably be top 4 or 5, but what does that mean for the actual playing of the season in terms of Alabama's talent level at the most important position?
Yeah, it's a talented player in terms of, you know, he's very athletic. We saw the run that he had against Arkansas when he came in when Bryce was hurt. We saw some of the runs he had against A&M. The arm, being a pocket passer, the decision-making in the pocket, all of those things were still issues with him. And, you know, there seems to be some improvement in that area this spring. You know, how good it can get, I don't think it's going to be Bryce Young level. It certainly, I think that would have, you know, it's a pretty long way to go. But can they do enough with the rest of their offense? And Nick Saban keeps alluding to balance and having the running game come back and have Jace McClellan and the rest of those running backs, Justice Haynes, the very highly rated freshman, just came in. Can they lean more in the running game? Can they spread the ball out to, you know, they don't have that elite Devontae Smith wide receiver still. You know, it's going to have to be more of a group effort, if you will. And I don't know if it's going to be good enough to win a national title, but I don't know if they have other options. Again, unless that initial talent, I think, from Ty Simpson really starts to come together and, again, kind of presents itself as a guy who just absolutely needs to be on the field.
So we've talked about that, losing Bryce Young. I mean, he is irreplaceable. You hope you replace him with someone that's in the same universe, maybe not. Will Anderson is also in the same category. He's going to be a top 5, top 6 pick, Gibbs later on in the draft. But in terms of what Will Anderson did for that team, what does it look like behind him in terms of the younger players and with great talent across the board, is there someone that can make the kind of difference that Will Anderson has made throughout his career?
The talent's definitely been there. I mean, they've been recruiting very well at outside linebacker in terms of the ratings and the 5-star kids that they've brought in every single year. Dallas Turner is the next guy up. Like I said, he's been hurt in the spring, so we won't see him until the fall. Chris Braswell is another 5-star prospect in that same class as Anderson. He was also out for the scrimmage. So then you go down to the next. I mean, Jeremiah Alexander was the 5-star last year. They have 2 more 5-star pass rushers coming in this summer on Keon Keeley and Yonze Pierre. So it's just the train just keeps moving in terms of the 5-star kids they bring in. But none of them are really Will Anderson. Will Anderson's a rare sort of player on the field, obviously, but obviously off the field as well in terms of just, I think he's one of Nick Saban's most favorite players that he's ever coached, just in terms of his makeup and his character and all that. So that's hard to replace. Like I said, there's nine starters overall, depending on how you count things on defense, that they're going to have to replace one way or the other. Four of them in the secondary, too. So there's a lot of pieces, I think, on defense that they're going to have to figure out, probably more so than offense. And that's still a pretty big question mark going into this year.
Mike, finally, just a short time left. You've laid out a scenario that people can take with it whatever they want. But from somebody who has watched this team for a couple of years that knows the territory, what are you thinking? If they're not quite on Georgia's level, then where are they?
Yeah, this is the team that could very well lose two games again. And where that puts them in 2023, as we've talked about before on the show, this is the last year of the 14 playoff. Two losses is still going to knock you out. So to go undefeated, to have the success they did, you know, 4 years ago in 2020, that's a high bar, I think, for this team and just kind of where they are at quarterback and where they are overall. And this could be a team that, again, has issues maybe on the road, loses a game here or there. They have Texas coming in early in September with, I think, a more established quarterback and an offense that gave them some issues early in that game last year. So if they do lose, then, you know, they're out of the playoff potentially if they lose two. So, but everything changes next year. You know, they go to a 12-team playoff and they could lose two games and be fine. So the context is going to be different. But for this 2023 season, it is an uphill battle, I think, both within the SEC and, you know, within college football in general.
Just fascinating stuff from Mike Rodak. Mike, many thanks. I feel like I learn a great deal every time we talk. We'll continue to stay in touch. Mike Rodak from AL.com. We'll take a short break here. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Boldest statements. Call now. 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285.
And welcome back. A lot to digest there from Mike Rodak. Fantastic conversation about where Alabama is as Nick Saban begins another season soon. Let's check out Nick in Louisiana. Hello, Nick.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, listen, a couple thoughts on Nick Saban. Now, I'm a stranger in a strange land. I'm from Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. But I've lived in South Louisiana for some 32 years. And I'm an LSU law graduate. I got nothing against Nick Saban. He did us a great favor. But quit picking on the man's hair. Now, I'm blessed. Men in my family, we lose our minds, not our hair. Maybe Mrs. Saban likes it. What are you going to do? All right?
Hi.
There you go.
Hi. Man, surprised that guy was a lawyer, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. I bet he does that hair.
Felt like he picked my pocket while he was talking. Let's check out Chris, who's up next. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Hey, my coach has got a major receding hairline going on there, Coach Saban. I noticed that also.
Listen, the man is he's up there. I mean, if he was 50, I'd understand. But I mean, he's in his 70s. He's got a lot of hair. Yeah. If you ask me.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Hey, is there?
I think Charles Barkley has a lot of hair compared to me.
Hey, I've got a question. I probably already know the answer to it, but is there any, speaking of Coach Saban, is there any way that you could probably get him on your show one day?
Absolutely. Now, is your next question, are you going to ask him what kind of hair dye he uses?
No, of course not.
I've asked Coach a lot of things before. And we've had some memorable conversations, but I don't think I am going to look him in the eye and say, "Okay, Coach."
Yeah, that
Grecian
that probably
formula.
Wouldn't be.
Or is it just for men?
He probably I refer you.
Or
he'd probably
is it
refer
your grandchildren's
you to
paint?
Yeah, Paul. The real reason that I was calling you about was the college football season coming up, sir. Has ESPN, since they're going to be the primary carrier now of the SEC?
Yes. Beginning next year, ESPN, which is the SEC network, ESPN and ABC will have the entire SEC slate. So say goodbye to CBS after this year.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.